The conclusion of those 100,000 100,000 crore, 1 crore is equal to 10 million. So 100,000 into 10 million, then you must reserve that. So it's very difficult to speak on this subject matter when it contains so many constraints. So with my own limitation, I'll try to speak something by the blessings of seniors and on the order of the seniors and authority that I'm totally unqualified to speak on this. So Lord Ramachandra appeared in Treta Yuga around 2 million years ago. So Ramayana is famous in India, especially in other part of the world also, because at one point of time the whole world was India. If people are reading, hearing, enjoying, relishing, at least 2 million years, since 2 million years they are enjoying. The whole, so many historians they came, they asked their followers to write about themselves, or they wrote themselves about themselves. So many things happened, many big people they gave, there was some history available of them, but nobody can say that this history is 2 million years ago. Maybe few hundred years ago they came, and now nobody knows, nobody cares about Napoleon or even Hitler, or whether they are positive in society or negative in society, nobody cares. They are gone, they are past history. But Ramayana, since so many thousands and thousands and thousands of years, it was the part of the culture. It was the part of the culture. Prabhupada would say that in villages, every evening, the farmers or whatever businessmen, after doing their business, they would come after sunset. They will meet in a village temple, they will do Ram Katha, and then they will go home. They will take prasad and then they will sleep, and they will dream about Lord Ram. That was the culture. Totally opposite to present modern day culture, where a person, after days and days of hard work, and instead of hearing Hari Katha or talking about God, he gets himself indulged in television, or some movie, or some intoxication, or combination of two or more, which helps him to forget Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, or God, or self-realization matters. Totally opposite. So that was the culture. So the Ram Katha was so much into our culture, that still it impresses us everywhere. Still when we talk about Ram, it grabs our heart. When we talk about Bharat, the whole awe and reverence comes, the sacrifice and the dedication of Bharat Maharaj. Sita's chastity, Mother Sita's chastity, it still impresses us. And Hanumanji's devotion still inspires us from our heart. You know, sometimes when we hear about Hanumanji, when we hear about Hanumanji, you know, something happens in our heart also. Although there is no devotion, still Hanumanji is so much impressive, because the whole Ramayana. So it was the whole culture, the whole Vedic culture was guided, something like guided by Ramayana. Yes, Devakinandan Prabhu, few minutes before he said that in India, if you say Hare Krishna, there will be few people who will say Jai Shri Ram. They want to offend Krishna, not to offend Krishna or anything. They are still devotees, Jai Shri Ram. So, this was the contribution of Lord Sri Ram and Ramayana. So, we should be very thankful for Valmiki Muni to give us this. In Brahma Samhita it is said, Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Vedh Tishtham Nana Vataram Kavur Dhuneshu Kindu Krishna Swayam Sambhavat Parma Kumaryo Govinda Mali Purushu Param Tamham Vajam. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Vedh Tishtham. Lord Krishna appears in various forms. And in our society, worldwide, the three incarnations, they are most glorified. That is, actually, two incarnations. Obviously, Lord Krishna and Narasimhadev and Lord Sri Rama. So, Lord Krishna appears in various forms. And for the reason he has already explained in Bhagavad Gita, he यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिः भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानं धर्मस्य तदात्मानं सत्यम्। But Prabhupada would say that Lord Ram's appearance, some places Prabhupada writes that these are the reasons, definitely. But Prabhupada said there is one more reason, and that reason is to give some subject matter so that people, they can talk about it. He gave a subject matter and people, they can go on talking about it. Just imagine a monkey jumping the whole ocean, stones floating, and Lord Ramchandra breaks the bow. The killing of Kumbhakarna, Nikumbha, all this, it fascinates the heart, a demon with 10 heads. All these things, it fascinates the heart, it gives a subject matter to talk about. So the whole Ramayana had been the subject matter for drama, music, theater, and so many things. Even today, the whole celebration is one drama. There were so many dances, there were Bharatanatyam and so many classical dances. The whole Ramayana is enacted in that. Music, so much, so many songs, so many bhajans are there because of Sri Ramayana. So, Ramayana plays a major role in the life of, in the history of Indian culture, the Vedic culture. So, Maharaj Dasharatha, he was a very, very glorious king in the dynasty of Ikshvaku. So, he was a very glorious king, very obedient to the rishis, sadhus, a very great kshatriya. All the citizens, they loved him. Everybody, they accepted him as the authority, but there was some but in his life. In that but was that he had no child. Now many times, we see in this material world people, they do not have child and then they are miserable. Because they think that, you know, who will take care of my wealth? Who will inherit this? What about my mere vansh ka kya hoga? What will happen to my vansh ko kya bolte hai? My dynasty. Actually no dynasty. Kali no dynasty. It's a very pure word, dynasty. What will happen to my future generation? What in the other or not I will have any generation? But Prasad Maharaj's pain was not because of that. His pain was that to set the example, I have to leave and accept the vanaprastha ashram and enter into the forest. And Raghuvansh has given so many nice things. You know, if you see in Ramayana, there are so many, at least 25 kings who are glorious. They are all mentioned before Dasharatha Maharaj, Ikshvaku and so many people. So Dasharatha Maharaj has that so many people they have took care, and now as a responsibility, as a king, it is my responsibility to my citizens to give them a nice king, a nice yuvraj, a right candidate for it. And that was the pain in his heart. That was the reason he was feeling so pain. So he called all his ministers and he asked that this is our issue now, even after so many years of prayers, I have not got any son. So all the ministers, they suggested that you call, there is a great sage in the kingdom of Romapada. His name is Rishyashringa. Rishyashringa means he had a horn on his forehead. This Rishyashringa, he was so pure, that till he reached the age of when he became young, till that time he was not aware that there is some other species known as female. He was so pure, raised by his father in jungle. He was happy eating roots and fruits and all those things. So he was very pure. So all the ministers, they advised him, Dasharatha Maharaj, that you call Rishyashringa and ask him to do Ashwamedh Yajna. So Maharaj Dasharatha invited him, Rishyashringa came and they had Ashwamedh Yajna. And Ashwamedh Yajna means, in that yajna, that sacrifice, a horse is selected and he has to travel all around the world. And every country in the world, they have to accept subjugation of Maharaj Dasarath or they have to fight. Now obviously everybody loved Maharaj Dasarath. So everybody accepted him as, and they gave so much of gifts. So we accept your subjugation and here is a tax from our side. So Maharaj Dasarath, the horse came back and Maharaj Dasarath was asked, in fact Kausalya, the first eldest queen, she was asked to chop off the head of the horse in 3 strokes. And then Mother Kausalya, she did that and the various limbs of the horses, they were offered in that sacrifice. And all the queens and Maharaj Dasarath, they were asked to inhale the fumes coming because of this sacrifice. And that was the method of getting oneself purified. And obviously the horse immediately gets a human form of life. It's not that the sacrifice means then again move in the 8.4 million species. No, the horse immediately gets the human form of life. So when all the fumes were inhaled by all the queens, Rishi Sringa advised Maharaj Dasarath that now you have one more sacrifice known as Putrishti sacrifice. And this will guarantee you to have a son. So Maharaj Dasarath said, as you say, since he was a pure king, he accepted the words of Rishi Sringa. And then Putrishti sacrifice was done. At the end of the Putrishti sacrifice, at that time all the devtas, they all approached Lord Brahma. And they said that this Ravana is creating too much of havoc. My Lord, please do something. Brahmaji again, he went further and in his own way, he prayed to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu said that I will definitely appear as son of Dasarath Maharaj. All of you appear in the dynasty of all the monkeys. All of you should possess all kinds of power, mystic powers. You should have ethereal bodies. You should be able to change your form. You should be all very intelligent. So all these monkeys, they all appeared. All these demigods, they appeared as monkeys later on. And these monkeys, they had only one intense desire. Not to eat, not to do monkey-like activities. They had only one desire, to fight with Ravana. It was inherent in that, to fight with Ravana. That was there in their blood and all veins of their... All, the whole existence was to fight with Ravana. So, at that time, in Yajna, Dasarath Maharaj Yajna, one Yajna Purush, he comes. Yajna Purush, a person with a golden helmet, very nice decorated body, dark complexion, and he was carrying a sweet rice, pot of sweet rice with him. And he offered to Maharaj Dasarath, and he said that you can distribute to your three queens, and soon they will beget children. Dasarath Maharaj started glorifying that person, offering prayers. But after receiving that pot, that Yajna Purush again entered into that Yajnashala. So when Dasarath Maharaj got that, he gave one half to Kausalya, the eldest queen. One fourth to Sumitra and one eighth to Kaikeyi. Some say they gave half to Kausalya and remaining he again divided to Sumitra and Kaikeyi. And then later on, Kausalya and Kaikeyi, they again gave their share, little share to Sumitra. So in that way, Sumitra got 2 shares. Anyway, we will not get into it. In short, everybody got. And after drinking that sweet rice, they felt assured that now a child will be born. We will never feel this, the Gujis will never feel this. A female feels the moment she gets pregnant, especially if they are too pure, like or Kausalya, Sumitra, Kaikeyi, they immediately felt that yes, the child is going to born. And on this day, on that 9th day of Chaitra Manma, that is Rama Navami, on that very auspicious day, the Supreme Lord, Sri Ramachandra, appeared in Ayodhya. Prabhu Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki
jai.
And what was the happiness of all the Ayodhya Vasis, all the residents of Ayodhya? It's not that they had nothing to do with the king. That era, was so high and so pure, and that the citizens, they love their king so much. One of my neighbor in Bombay, he's around 80 years old, and he criticizes this whole democracy. Now, Prabhupada says demon crazy. But he himself says that earlier times, he has nothing to do with devotional service, okay? He is not even Hindu. He says that earlier times, people, the king would feel that these are my praja, they are my children. Now all the kids or children, they would feel that here is our father, the king. So all the Ayodhyavasis, they felt so happy, they felt that we have got a new king now, our Yuvraj has come now. They were so happy, very happy. There were so many ceremonies going on in the whole of Ayodhya. Some people, they were dancing, the elephants, they were sprinkling the scented water on the street. This was the opulence of Ayodhya, that elephants were sprinkling scented water on the streets. Unfortunately, we don't have, even in Singapore also we don't have. So much of opulence was there in Ayodhya. And Lord Ramchandra appeared at the noon time, because he is Surya Vanshi, he is coming in the dynasty of Surya. Lord Krishna appeared in the night time, because he was in moon dynasty, Chandra Vanshi. Lord Krishna, Ramchandra appeared in Surya Vanshi. And after some time, Bharat, Shatrughna, and Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna, they appeared. So, Acharya has explained that all these four, they are not ordinary human beings. Even those who have written unauthorized Ramayana, they also don't say that it is, they are all ordinary human beings. Ramchandra ji is the direct expansion of Vasudeva. Lakshman is the direct incarnation of Sankarsana. Bharat Maharaj of Pradyumna. And Shatrughna is of Anirudha. They are direct expansion. So all the Ayodhyavasis, they are very happy. The very word Ram, it means the reservoir of all pleasure. Just by beholding Lord Ram, so anybody who saw Lord Ram as a child, baby boy, it would give them so much of pleasure that they would just see, keep on seeing Lord Ram. Lord Krishna appeared as the dark monsoon rain cloud. Monsoon rain cloud. It's not there in Singapore. We don't have monsoon. Every time we have rain. Anyway, Lord Krishna appeared as monsoon rain cloud. Very nice color, right? Lord Balram ji, he appeared as spring cloud. Absolutely white. Lord Gauranga, he appeared as molten gold.
I think devotees can just come little forward. Because I think there's not much space at the back.
Lord Gauranga, he appeared as molten gold. And Lord Ramchandra, he appeared as... When I was reading, there are two, three analogies we have explained. But at one point it is said that he was like a very precious, his body hue was like the precious emerald, very smooth. That's what it is again, smooth, precious emerald. It's something like, and his bodily complexion was like Durva grass. Durva grass, the grass which is generally offered to Lord Ganesh, the fresh green Durva grass. The spectacular colors, this is how the Supreme Lord appears. Lord Krishna, different color. Lord Balramji, different color. Lord Ram, different color. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, different color. Spectacular colors. See how, what kind of colors we have. In Hindi there is a word, Chitkavara. Chitkavara means different colors of body. This part is different color, this part is of different color. It may be of the same color, but complexion is dark or light, or we are having different shades in our body. But Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, appears. Lord Ram, His body is, can be compared in the extreme ideal Kshatriya body, in Lord Ram's body. His muscular body, he had a very muscular body, but not like those weightlifters and those, only muscles, no substance. Ideal muscular body. The embodiment of fearlessness, because when you would walk, his walk was like walk of a lion, elephant. His waist was as thin as the lion's waist, very thin. And his walk was very majestic. And it would create the fear in the heart of enemy, because he would walk with so much of confidence. All this was combined in the form of Lord Ram. And that's why he said that his form was very much the ideal Kshatriya body. Obviously his eyes, they were like lotus petals, very big eyes. Our eyes ain't here. His eyes were very big. So everybody was happy. Dasharatha Maharaj was also very happy. And one time while Vishwamitra Muni came in the palace of Lord Ram or Dasharatha Maharaj, and Vishwamitra Muni said that there are many demons who spoil my yajna. Whenever I do yajna, there are few demons who spoil the yajna, so I need your help. And Dasharatha Maharaj says that I will do whatever you say. While Vishwamitra Muni says that I want Ram to come with me, and I want this Ram to kill these demons. So Vishwamitra Muni, the Dasharatha Maharaj becomes very sad in his heart. It's something, he says that after so many years, Dasharatha Maharaj ruled for 60,000 years. That for so many years I was waiting for a child, a heir apparent for my kingdom, and now I cannot bear separation from my child. I cannot put him under so much of risk. He has not yet taken the military, the army training also. He was only 15 years old. In Singaporeans also don't go for army training yet. So Ram was also feeling, Vasudeva Maharaj was feeling that I just cannot send. Vishwamitra Muni, he became so angry. And it is contradictory. Vishwamitra Muni said that I don't want to kill those demons because if I kill them, I will get angry, and because I get angry, the whole yajna will be spoiled. But at the same time, Vishwamitra Muni got angry on Dasharatha Maharaj that why did you send your child? You have already promised, right? That in Raghukul, nobody breaks their words. Whatever is said, it is like a line from stone. How can you break your promise? You said that you will do everything, and now you are going back to your word, back from your word. Vasishtha Muni immediately takes Maharaj Dasharatha in corner and says that Vishwamitra Muni is enough powerful, and your son is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Be confident, nothing will happen to your son. Let him go. You serve Vishwamitra Muni, and I'm sure Vishwamitra Muni is so powerful, he will not only help your son, but he will also give him various astras and shastras so that he can kill those demons. So Vasishtha Muni knew this, because Vishwamitra Muni was definitely, he gave later on two mantras, he gave Bal and Atibal. Anyway, so Dasharatha Maharaj along and Vishwamitra Muni took Lord Ram, and obviously Lakshman followed. So Ram, Lakshman and Vishwamitra Muni, they left. And here is a very exemplary behavior on the part of Lord Ram, that wherever Lord Ram took Vishwamitra Muni took Lord Ram and Lakshman, Lord Ram would ask very humbly, "O Gurudev, please explain why this place is there is nobody living here, or what is the importance of this place? What happened at this place?" And Vishwamitra Muni, being a realized acharya, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya dekshanti teyanu yanina sattva darshi, the one who has seen the truth, Vishwamitra Muni would explain that this is a place where Vamandev appeared, this is a place where Maharaj Sagar, he performed his tapasya, this is a place, so and so, and he would give the history of Mother Ganges, and so many things he would explain. And Lord Ram would humbly sit and hear the katha from Vishwamitra. So even Lord Ram was raised by hearing the Puranic history, similar to what Prabhupada gave, the culture of giving and making our kids hear the Harikatha, the stories in the story form. We have so many books in the story form. Prabhupada himself contributed from his own side, Krishna book. Then rest of the part he left it to his disciples and other followers. And today's Dharma is product of the same interest which has gone into the veins of kids by hearing katha, katha. They feel so enthusiastic to do this Dharma. There are some kids, they will be here for maybe 2 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds and they will be out of the stage also. But everybody is happy. Because they are feeling themselves to be part of the scene. So at one place, Ramchandra ji asked Vishwamitra Muni that why this place, why there are nobody here? Why it is so dry? Vishwamitra Muni said that because of the demon is Tataka. Lord Ram should immediately kill this demon as Tataka. Don't think that she is a female. I know you have very soft heart for female, but don't feel any kind of pain. Just kill her. And there was a whole story of Tataka, how she became a demon. But we will not go into that detail. So Tataka became, when Lord Ram took out his bow, and he cannot make the sound, because when I heard the lecture, Maharaj made a very nice sound. And the sound was twang, something like that. And Lord Ram's bow, and he made a sound. And Tataka immediately screamed that somebody has... Somebody is trying to occupy my place, my territory, somebody is trying to enter. And she screamed, and she immediately took her ghastly form. And Vishwamitra Muni said that she has mystic powers. You should immediately kill her, otherwise she will start showing her mystic powers. And by that time she started showing her mystic powers. Sometimes she was there in front of Lord Ram, sometimes behind, sometimes this side, sometimes this side, sometimes on top. And started, or when she was on top, she started doing so many obnoxious things on them. The body without head, only trunk, sometimes only head. And sometimes she created some kind of illusion. So Lord Ram said that, I have shown enough compassion. You know, although Vishwamitra Muni said that you should not have compassion for this image, but Lord Ram said that now enough compassion is shown, now I must kill her. And he took out his arrow and he shot, and it just pierced her body and she fell down dead. So this was Ramchandra Maharaj, Ramchandra Ji's predicament, you know. He had to kill a female, the first demon. Similar to what Lord Krishna also had to kill to Putana. It's not that they are against females. They are not racist. But the situation was like that. Then they proceeded further. And they walked deep into the forest. And there they reached Valmiki Muni's ashram. And Vishwamitra Muni's ashram. And there were thousands of disciples of Vishwamitra Muni. They were doing all yajna and preparation of yajna. So Ramchandra brought Vishwamitra Muni. Immediately he started his work. Whatever he had to do, he started his performance of yajna. And immediately sat in samadhi kind of thing. And 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed, 4 days passed. And Lord Ramchandra asked his disciples that, what is happening now? There is a guru in meditation now. He will come out of meditation maybe after 2 days, that is the total 6 days. And generally nothing happens for the first 6 days. On the 7th day, these demons, Subahu and Marich, they attack, they spoil the holy yajna. That is the time they do this. So you should be ready. So Lord Ramchandra was ready, very eager to fight. It's a Kshatriya mentality, eager to fight, nothing wrong with it. And Vishwamitra Muni, 7th day came, and immediately Subahu and Marich, along with that, all the demon associates, they came. And they started throwing all the obnoxious items to spoil the yajna. You know, when the yajna is done, the performer, the ingredients, the paraphernalia, the atmosphere, everything is purified. Just by passing through that atmosphere, it inhales, when the fume goes into the body, one feels, so nice. You know, so everything is purified. And even a drop of impurity is there. The whole yajna is supposed to be destroyed. And they all were doing the same thing. And they knew it. All these demons, Subahu and Marich and they, all these people, Tataka, everybody, they knew it, that is how to spoil the yajna. How the demigods should not get their part of sacrifice. Or how the Vishnu should not get their his part of sacrifice. So they would do this. And Lord Ramchandra, immediately he killed all these demons and then he took out one arrow, Agni arrow, and he shot at Subahu. And Subahu, it is explained that his heart was cut into pieces because of this Agni lagna. Then Lord Ramchandra took another arrow and he shot towards Marich. And this Marich, Lord Ramchandra was not feeling that I should kill him because he had to play his part later on. So he shot an arrow in such a way that it took that demon Marich and threw him 100 yojanas into the ocean. 800 miles into the ocean without killing him. Marich was really scared at that time. His life, he said that he felt so fearful after that any time he would hear the word Ram, if there is a sentence, in that the Ram word comes, Ram and Ma. Even he says that if there is a combination of the word which is Ram and Ma, also would terrorize him from the heart. And I heard from a doctor how he says that this symptom is known as paranoid schizophrenia. This is known as paranoid schizophrenia. And he would say that the moment I will hear the word Ram, and I will feel scared. So Ramchandra removed this demon from that spot in this way. Then Vishwamitra Muni thanked him. He said that enough. Now then later on Vishwamitra Muni gave all the weapons and mantras and all those weapons, they came in a personified form in front of Lord Ram. And they said that whenever you call us, we'll be available. And then they all disappeared. And you know, Ramchandra's humility, he paid his obeisances to all those weapons. Then Vishwamitra Muni said that now I will take you to Mithila Nagari, the city of Janak Maharaj, where Mother Sita is there. And Lord Vishwamitra Muni said that I want to show you the bow of Lord Shiva. It's such a majestic bow which Lord Shiva used when the pastime of Daksha happened. At that time, Lord Shiva used this. And then he gave to the forefathers, his name was Devabrata, forefathers of Janak Maharaj. That dhanush, that bow, it is explained that whole dhanush, it was carved so nicely. It had golden artwork done of the fighting between demons and demigods. The whole artwork is also explained in Ramayana, that how that bow was. And it was so heavy, so big, that 500 men would drag that whole bow, and they could do in a very slowly. It was slowly they could do. They would not do very fast. No, it would take so much of time and energy. Such a big bow. So he wanted to show. Vishwamitra Muni wanted to show this to Lord Ramchandra. Because what had happened, that Janak Maharaj had a Mother Sita, she would do little bit of cleaning in the place where that whole dhanush was kept. And one time Janak Maharaj saw with his own eyes that when Mother Sita, as a small baby girl, she would be cleaning the arena of where the dhanush was, and she would just pick that dhanush with her left hand and she would just clean whatever is dust there below that dhanush. And she would just do it very casually. And Janak Maharaj was shocked. He said that at least she should have a husband who can lift this bow. otherwise maybe it is, you know, he will. So Sanat Maharaj has this condition that anybody who can leave this womb will marry my daughter. And Mother Sita, her appearance is also not normal appearance. She appeared from the Bhumi Devi, from earth. Janak Maharaj had no son, so he also wanted to do sacrifice. So when he said that when I was doing sacrifice, so to plow the arena of the sacrifice, and when I took that plow, this baby girl, Mother Sita, she appeared from there, from a golden sanduk. She was, her appearance is divine, and when she disappeared also divine, she just entered into So Lord Vishwamitra Muni said that I will take you to Mithila and there you can see this big Dhanush. So on the way, again Lord Ramachandra said that, you know, this place seems to be very, very deserted. What is the reason? So Vishwamitra Muni explained that this is the place where Gautam Rishi would stay with his wife Ahilya. This is the place where Gautam Rishi would stay with his wife Ahilya. And then he explained the whole story of Ahilya. We do not have time of that. But Ahilya, because of her mistake, for which she was so repenting in her heart, she got a curse from her husband, Gautam Muni, Gautam Rishi, that she will become a stone. And she can only get her form when Lord Ramachandra gives his dust, put his feet on that stone. So Ahilya, her determination, yesterday we were discussing, her determination to get the dust of Lord Ram, the patience, always concentrated, her whole life in the form of that stone, her concentration was always dust of the lotus feet of Lord Ram. So when Vishwamitra Muni said that here is that stone, O Ram, please put your feet on this stone. And Lord Ramachandra very mercifully put his feet, and Ahilya immediately, known as Ahilya Uthar, she offered her prayers to Lord Ram, and then she again left and met her husband. Then they reached Mithila Nagari. After reaching Mithila Nagari, Vishwamitra Muni asked Janak Maharaj, can you show this? That Lord Shiva spoke. Janak Maharaj said, okay, I'll show you tomorrow. Let me do other hospitality to you today. And then Janak Maharaj gave a very nice speech to Lakshman, Ram Sidrati and Vishwamitra Muni. He washed their feet and he worshipped them and he gave them various gifts. Next day, Lord Ramachandra was there in front of that Dhanush. And Mother Sita, in her heart of heart, she was praying. In her heart of heart, she accepted Lord Ram as her husband. And she was praying, that, oh God, please let Lord Ram lift this book so that I can accept him and I can serve him. And Lord Ramachandra, he went and he also lifted the bow like this. For God, he do not have to put so much effort, you know. No. He was just like that. When Krishna lifted Govardhan, it's not that he was a very muscular person and he had to put so much of strength and all the veins and everything is just visible. He's just holding it, yeah, 7 days are over now. Oh, no. It was just like kukur mutta, what is that? Mushroom. Krishna plucked it as if it is a mushroom. Lord Ramachandra also took that bow. String, he put that string and he started bending it and pulling it. And it, at one point of time, became whole the ground. The whole bow, it became ground. And Lord Ram still pulled it and it created a very, very strong, what do you call it, tumultuous sound. And the sound was so, the cracking sound was so much that except for few, everybody felt unconscious on the ground. Except Mother Sita, Vishwamitra Muni, Janak Maharaj, Lakshman and obviously Lord Ram himself. Everybody was unconscious. And then the moment they realized that what has happened, everybody was so happy. Everybody was so happy. And you know, sometimes All the citizens, they felt that this man who is coming, Ram, he must be the husband of Sita. He should become husband of Sita. And when their desires were fulfilled, they were all in ecstasy. So, then the marriage took place. And it was a Samu Lagna. The Samu Lagna tradition was earlier also. Samu Lagna means more than one marriage together. So, all the four brothers and all the four, perhaps they were sisters, I don't remember, I don't know. Perhaps here our Vishishabhu, Devanand Hari Prabhu says that he has definitely read. So, all the four brothers, four sisters, they had same anniversary, marriage anniversary, same marriage anniversary. They came back and Maharaj Dasharatha was feeling that I have ruled for 60,000 years now. Unrivaled kingdom. All the citizens follow, are exact, perfect followers. We do not have these kind of politicians now. For somehow or other they grab their chair, their seat for 5 years. Somehow, after that, they are either thrown or killed or murdered or some conspiracy, they are in the jail or something or the other. Fortunately, these kind of things are not there in Singapore. But many other parts of the world, these things happen. Unrivaled kingdom. So mother, and his kingdom, everybody was so happy that there was no disease. There was no disease. And never a son died before father. That was the era. Just imagine, that was the era that son never died before father. And if it would happen, the father could go to king and he would challenge that you must have done something wrong, that's why this is happening. Just imagine if this kind of thing happens today. You cannot think, no need to think also. So, Dasarath Maharaj decided that I will coronate Ram as king. And the whole Ramayana, when it began, when Valmiki Muni wrote, when the whole pastime, Valmiki Muni first wrote one small verse, and he wrote that verse out of pain, because he saw two cranes who were together, huns, they were cranes, they were together, and one hunter, he shot an arrow, and the one crane, the male crane, was dead. And in that pain, he cursed that hunter, that may you also never remain happy. And that was the meter of the whole Ramayana. That was the meter. We will not go into the detail how Valmiki Muni wrote Ramayana, compiled Ramayana. So, because that verse which Valmiki Muni composed, it was so much of karuna, so much of pain was there. That whole Ramayana, after this part, is all karuna, it's all pain. Till Dasarath Maharaj decides, Lord Ram, to make king, after that it is all painful story. Because one person known as Manthara, she enters into the movie. Then she enters. She is also actually sent by demigod. She was Apsara incarnate. Because if everything goes good, then who will kill Ravan? Everything is happy and ever after. Then who will kill Ravan? The main purpose is not sought. So Manthara, she meets and she talks and she poison gives into the ears of Kaikeyi, you know, and Kaikeyi gives submissive oral reception what Manthara is saying. You know, initially she was not agreeing what she is saying. Now, at that time, the moment somebody starts blaspheming somebody else, we should say, you just shut up. Sometimes we don't like it, but we say, okay, you keep on going, so that I will know what I don't know. We have this unfortunate conditioned attitude. We want to know something if we don't know, and then we know, this devotee is like it, that devotee is like that. Similarly, this similar thing happened with Kaikeyi, and she heard whatever Manthara had to give the poison from her side. That's why Chanakya Pandit says, Nich seva manushyanam asi dhara valena vyagra ghatra parishanam vyali madana chunanam. That associating with worldly minded people is something like associating a deadly cobra, kissing a deadly cobra, or associating with a glittering sword. No, we cannot hold a sword which is glittering because of its sharp edge, or
Vyakra Gatra Parishvango,
shaking hands with tiger. If we shake our hand with tiger, we may not have our hand also. So it's associating with worldly minded people is something like that. That's what Chanakya Pandita explains. So Kaikeyi, she heard this, whatever mantra had to say, and her mind became completely polluted. Just few minutes back, she was happily dressing herself and glorifying his own son Ram, because she loved Ram more than her own son Bharat. And here her whole attitude changed, and she asked, "Mantra, so what should I do now? What should I do now? You should become the Patrani, the queen. So for this, you should do one thing. Do you remember? You still have to ask two boons from Dasharatha Maharaj." So she says, "Yes, I remember now. How many years ago, Dasharatha Maharaj was happy with my service and he asked me to take two boons. And he said that, and I said that I will take whenever I ask for it whenever I need. So this is the right time. You should ask first boon, let Ram be banished to forest for 14 years. And before that you should ask, let Bharat be the king." Kaikeyi was happy with that. And she said that I will, the mantra was a hunchback lady. She had two words.
Yeah, hunchback. Hunchback.
She was written like this. And Kaikeyi said that I will anoint your honey, the back, with sandalwood pulp once I become the Patrani. She was so happy, I do this to you. Anyway, so when Lord Ram, he was called, and Lord Ram, when he entered, he immediately felt that my father is sad, and Kaikeyi is also sitting there, and because something has happened, he was not aware that they are going to say this. So, Dasharatha Maharaj could not speak. He couldn't speak. So on behalf of him, Kaikeyi said that your father wants you to go to for 14 years into the forest. You are exiled to the forest for 14 years. And Bharat, my son Bharat will be the king. And Lord Ram had not a single, what is this? No negative expression on his face. He said, "That's it. Father, that's it. Don't be so morose. Don't be so unhappy. That's it. I just want your favor, a positive favor always. That's it you want. I'm ready to do it." Immediately Lord Ram goes into his personal quarter. He removes all his jewelry. He puts on all the tree bark and he's ready to depart. And then there is a talk. Mother Sita comes in the picture. Mother Sita says that my relationship with you is like the relationship of moon and moonshine. It cannot be separable. One cannot separate this. My relationship with you is like object and its shadow. One cannot separate it. Mother Sita never said that, anyway, you have to go to Cotton Forest. I am from the great King Janak Maharaj. So you go, I will meet you. Once you come back, I will meet you. But she never said that this thing. She said that my relationship with you is eternal. I will definitely serve you in all the situations. And I will follow you. Lord Ram, of course he tried to convince her that you won't be able to take the austerity of forest and all those things. But he was not able to convince his wife. Lakshman also came into picture. One said that it is impossible for me to live without you. And Lakshman also put his counter arguments. And Lord Ram had to take Lakshman also. So Acharya explains that Lord Ram's equanimity, am I speaking rightly? The equanimity of Lord Ram is very exemplary. Just imagine, let us put ourselves in that situation, that we are supposed to get the kingdom of Singapore. And then somebody else comes, hey, it is a rightful claim. It is rightful. Ram is the eldest king. Citizen they want. Kingdom wanted. Everything is rightful. It's not that Ram was given something, this is how you are rightful. It was a rightful kingdom was belonging to him, but it was taken away from him. And not only the kingdom was taken away, there was some unnecessary punishment which nobody will like to do. Going into the forest, even in Singapore Zoo, if we are left, nobody is there, only animals will feel scared. Although we have full confidence that no animal will come out. So this is not possible for modern day and time. But Lord Ram, there was not a, I don't know what, how to put in English, stereotype chicken jibi nahi. And there was not a single, what we call, not a single trace of anxiety or negativity on his face. Total equanimity. That's why Acharya they explain that, you know, when Bhagumana went and punched Lord Vishnu on his chest, Lord Vishnu not reacted negatively. Whereas just before that, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they reacted. Lord Brahma reacted in mind, Lord Shiva reacted fully physically, but Vishnu no reaction. And there Prabhupada writes in Krishnamurti that one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. One time Radhanath Maharaj made all of us repeat this in lecture. 500-600 devotees are sitting. He made everybody repeat 3-4 times. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. This is the barometer of the greatness of any person. So, Lord Ram was perfectly okay, no problem, and they went into the jungle. Lakshman also followed. Now, Lakshman, to serve his master, elder brother, at one point of time, Lakshman says, who asked? Hanumanji asked Lakshman, that who are you? Lakshman said that, although Ram says that I am his younger brother, but actually I am his servant. This is his greatness that he considers me as his brother, but actually I am his servant. So Lakshman served Lord Ram for all the 14 years without sleeping. We feel so inspired to know that Parikshit Maharaj and the whole assembly, they had not slept for 7 days. And here Lakshman, with all the choices, never slept in the service of Lord Ram. And that austerity gave him so much of strength that he could kill Indrajit. Indrajit was such a powerful demon that at one point Vishwamitra Muni says, after whole Ramayana finishes, Vasishtha Muni says that Indrajit was more powerful than even Ramayana. So Lakshman got this power because of his intense desire to serve Lord Ram, and he made so much of austerity. Then they enter into the forest, they meet Lakshman, Sita and Ram. They enter into the forest, they meet Guha Maharaj. After meeting Guha Maharaj, Bharat Maharaj also comes. When Bharat realizes that what has happened, it is all mess, I was not aware of all these things. So he comes back to the forest to take Lord Ram back. Lord Ram says, my father has given the words, I will not do what my father said. Bharat Maharaj said that I cannot live like a king now. You have to give me your sleeper, Charan Paduka. I will worship them and I will put these Charan Padukas on Simhasan, on the throne. And Bharat Maharaj worshipped those Charan Paduka for 14 years. He ate barley soaked in cow urine. For 14 years he did that. No other food. He was not living even in the kingdom. He was ruling the kingdom by living outside of the kingdom. That village name is Nandigram. Nandigram. And still that village is there. Very nice and isolated place. Then Bharat Maharaj takes the Charan Paduka of Lord Ram, he goes back to the kingdom. Then Lord Ram meets Bharadwaj Rishi and they go to Chitrakut mountain. And they stay there for 12 years. Chitrakut mountain, that 12 years are the most happy moment of Lord Ramchandra's life. He is there with his consort mother Sita. Lord Ramchandra's grahastha life, the most happy part were those 5 years. In happiest days, and Lord Ram was serving all the sages and all the rishis, and Lord Ram was showing with his own example, one should be serving the rishis and sages and holy people. When we chant, it is said that when we chant the holy name without any service, then the chanting the holy name, it becomes or it remains austerity always. One will never relish chanting the holy name if there is no service. So service should be part of our devotional service. And when we do continuously serving to devotees, to the previous acharyas, pure devotees, Guru, Prabhupada, then the posterity of chanting will not remain an austerity. One will start enjoying the holy names. So Lord Krishna Ram was there with Mother Sita at Chitrakoot. At Chitrakoot is a very holy place. Mandodari, Mandakini river is there. The Kantana mountain is there. The way Krishna devotees, they worship Govardhan. Similarly, Lord Ram's devotees, they worship Kantana mountain. They also circumambulate that mountain. At last they meet Atri Rishi, and Atri Rishi says, now you should go to Dandakaranya forest. There is a place known as Panchavati, and there you should go and stay there. So Lord Ramchandra comes to Panchavati. This Panchavati is in the holy city of Nasik. These 5 trees are still there, and they are at least 2 million years old. They say oak trees are the oldest, biggest tree, traffic goes below that. And they will, if they, we say that this is 2 million years, they will start doing their carbon test and all those things. We don't believe them. Our scripture says, our acharya says, here it is, that's it, finish. We don't need scientists' proof that these are 2 million years. Anyway, the oldest tree one can think of, they are there. And Nasik is the place where Shurpanakha comes. Shurpanakha is sister of Ravana. She comes and she sees the beautiful body of Lord Ram. So beautiful. In fact, Lord Ram was so beautiful that all the sages of Dandakaranya forest, they got attracted. Lord Ram said that not in this life. Next life, when I come as Krishna, all of you come as Gopi. Then you can marry. So Lord Ram was very attractive. So Shurpanakha got attracted. And she says that you are so handsome, why don't you marry me? Why don't you marry me? Now she was quite straightforward and very simple in her heart. She said, I want to marry you. Lord Ram, because he is a Maryada Pushottam, he said that I have taken Ekmatni Vrata and I am already married. You know, if you marry me, you know, Sita is elder to you now. So you know, just situation, think of that situation, not so good. You should marry Lakshman. Now he is without wife, you can marry him. She immediately approaches Lakshman. He said, you are equally handsome, why don't you marry? Lakshman says that katham dasasya me dasi bharya bhartum ichasi, that I am, you want to become my wife. Do you know who I am? I am servant of Ram. And Sita is servant of Ram. So if you marry me, you will become servant of Sita, who is servant of Ram. So you will become servant of servant. You want to become like that? So she was not happy with that post. The devotees, they want to become servant of servant. Shurpanakha was not happy with that. So you should approach Ram. Better approach Ram. She again goes to Ram. And Ram was not happy with all this. And I said, go there, she went there. And she said, go here. So they made some fun of Shurpanakha. And ultimately Shurpanakha said that now I need this lady. She is the root cause of all the problems. Now this is the mentality of a human. If you cannot have it, eat it. So she attacks Mother Sita. Ramchandra said that, Sir Lakshman, don't play much, you do the needful. Lakshman immediately cuts off her nose, which is in Sanskrit known as Nasika. Nasika. That's why that place is known as Nasik. So Lakshman cuts off her nose and ears, and that is the holy place, evidence place of, that is also the evidence place of His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. The same place, Maharaj also, is there, eternal presence is there, Maharaj, eternal presence. Anyway, so Lakshman chops off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, and Shurpanakha immediately goes to her brothers, Khar and Bhushan, who are the cousin brothers of Ravana. And she says that, you know what has happened to me? There are two human being, you should go and kill them. Karan Dushar tells 14 Rakshasas, go and kill them. Ram, with one arrow, he kills all the 14 Rakshasas. One arrow, 14 people finish. Even modern bullets cannot kill more than 2 people. Ram's one arrow killed 14 people. Surpanda again went back to the current and said, what the hell your Rakshasas did? Nothing. They are all dead now. In one arrow he killed. So this time Kar and Dushan themselves came with 14,000 Rakshasas. We will personally kill them. Kill both these. And Lord Ram killed all those 14 Rakshasas, including Kar and Dushan, in 1 hour's time. That's what it is written. In 1 hour's time. Maybe some Vedic, according to Vedic timing calculation, some Kshan and something like that, but it was 1 hour's time it is translated. 1 hour's time he finished everybody. He cannot count 14,000 people in 1 hour's time. Lord Ram killed 14,000 people in 1 hour's time. Surpanda goes and meets Ravan. He said that, you know, there are two human beings who killed, and that was the beginning of a kind of enmity between Ravan and Ram. Ravan asked, who are those two people? They are human beings. Now, Rakshasas, they are not afraid of human beings. For them, human beings is nothing but eatables. Any one of you are afraid of cabbage, or cauliflower, or tomatoes, cucumber, bhindi, karela? None of us are afraid of these things, right? For demons, Rakshasas, human being is like that. And when he, Ravan, heard that human beings, two human beings, they killed all my Rakshasas, he was really very angry. And this human form of life, actually we are all useless, we have no much body. What we are in front of, what to speak of elephants, what we are in front of a horse, if that horse kicks us, we will at least go 15 feet. 15 feet behind. Even a donkey, that is dangerous. When a cockroach comes, we jump. Physically we are useless. But this human form of life should be used. Because only in this human form of life, and only in this human form of life, the proclivity for self-realization is there. Now, we cannot expect animals to sit here and see Rama. They won't understand anything. Only in human one, even in demigod life, they can just enjoy. In hellish spirits, they can just suffer. Now this is the only junction where one can go back home, back to God. So Prabhupada, he was also, he was like crying for the well-being of everybody. And that's why he is like Hanumanji. Few Hanumanji crossed Lanka. Prabhupada also crossed the Indian subcontinent and went and gave this to Western civilization, which is like Lanka. The whole Western civilization, it is also based on adharma. The way Lanka is was based on adharma, sinful. The money earned by a sinful means exploiting Mother Nature. Ravan also wanted to exploit Mother Sita. This is what Prabhupada did. So Surpanda goes and instigates Ravan. No, Sita is so beautiful. And Surpanda speaks so many beautiful qualifications of Mother Sita. If she would have meditated positively, she would have got purified. But unfortunately, it never happened. Of course, later on she realized and she did for austerity and she came in next life as Urja. Because she wanted to have association of Lord Ram took it positively. And he said that in this life I cannot do because I am in prison, Mayada Purushottam. Next life I will satisfy your desire. So she came as Urja. The Surpanda increases the lusty Ravan. Ravan was so lusty, he had so many queens. The whole Lanka had 100,000 crore Rakshasas. 1 crore is equal to 10 million. So, again, the same maths which we did few minutes back. 100,000 multiplied by 10 million. That was the population of Rakshasas in Lanka. How they were there, I don't know. But they were there. It's all explained in the scriptures. So Ravan, and the whole Lanka was destroyed because of one person's lust. That was Ravan. So So now this claim of Ravana is a perfect example that lust can only do destruction, nothing else. Rather, lust can only do destruction, nothing else. So Ravana, hearing the beauty of Sita, he comes as sadhu. And now that Marich was thrown into the ocean, he comes as golden deer. And Mother Sita gets attracted. She says, I want that golden deer. We'll have that deer as pet in my palace. So Lord Ram, to please Sita, he goes behind the deer. He kills him ultimately. The moment he is dying, at that time he shouts, "Hey Lakshman, O Sita, please help." Mother Sita says that, "Lakshman, you should go and help your brother Ram." Lakshman says that nothing has happened to Ram, I am fully confident. Then Mother Sita speaks so much harsh words to Lakshman, and Lakshman had to leave. And he prepares the Lakshman Rekha, which is still there. As on today also, that Lakshman Rekha is there. By Lakshman's mercy, in one sense that effect is not there. If you cross, it will not kill us. But that Lakshman Rekha is still there, in the form of water. Whole water is still there. So, when Lakshman goes, Ravana comes as sadhu, and he kidnaps Mother Sita. People, they say that Lord Ram ate meat. Because they were eating meat, they wanted to kill this deer. When this question was asked to Prabhupada, you know what Prabhupada said? We need not go much into the details, but what Prabhupada said is enough for us. Prabhupada said that, what to speak of meat, Ram can eat fire and digest. Ram can do anything. Prabhupada was not even bothered to explain his own history and history. For even philosophically, that how would Lord Ram never eat meat? Anyways, so Ravana kidnaps Mother Sita, and then when he is just kidnapped, he meets one of the great devotee of Lord Ram, who is in the form of a vulture. His name is Jatayu. Jatayu was 60,000 years old. Who was friend of Dasarath Maharaj? No. Who was friend of father of Dasarath Maharaj? So old he was. And vulture is not a great, in Treta Yuga, vultures also would live so long. And vulture's life is not something very great life. They survive on dirt or dead animals. But here, this Jatayu was such a great devotee that the moment he saw that Ravana is trying to kidnap Sita, he could not resist himself. He took all his strength and he attacked on Ravana. He knocked off his armor. He cut all his mules. He was going by that skyway. He cut out mules. He plucked so much of flesh from his body. And not only that, Ravana was thrown to the ground. And Ravana was fighting with one hand. With one hand, he had hold Mother Sita, and with another hand, he was fighting. But at one point of time, Jatayu, he was so old, he was tired, fatigued. And Ravana realized that this vulture is fatigued now. So he took out his sword and cut off his wings. He cut off his legs. And Jatayu fell down, mortally wounded in blood. And he was, without wings, how a bird will.
Chhatpatani ko kya bolte
hain? Shivering and trembling because of so much of pain. And he was continuously chanting, "Ram, Ram." Then when Ram reaches along with Lakshman, from far he realizes that this is the demon who ate Sita. He tries to, he thinks, Ramchandra, he thinks that I should kill this. But before killing, he reaches near and Jatayu says that Ram, Ram. And then when Ramchandra sees that, he feels so pain in his heart. And he says that I could not serve this Jatayu. In his whole life, I did not serve him, but let me serve him now. So he immediately shot one arrow into the ground, just behind, besides the tree, and he invites Mother Ganges. And Mother Ganges comes, and the Jatayu drinks that water, and then Jatayu leaves the world. That arrow was so powerful that still that Mother Ganges is there in the same place where Jatayu left his body. That place is known as Take. That place is still there. The only place where Jatayu's deity is there, there are only few sadhus they stay. Those who visit Nasik, they can go to Take. It's a so secluded place. Nothing is there, practically no civilization. Even today's day and time, few sadhus are there, nothing, no civilization. That tree is still there, that water is still there. Ram was so saddened. He said that Sita Haranam Dukham Name Somya Tathagatim Yatha Vinashu Vridhasya Ratkrite Cha Parantapa. He said that I am not so much saddened by the abduction of Sita as I am saddened with my dear servant Jatayu. Ram had so much of love for Jatayu. No, actually this Jatayu, this vulture, in one sense a useless animal, has to give up his life to save my consort. And he spoke this sentence that I am not so much saddened with the abduction of Sita as I am sad with the death of my dear servant Jatayu. And Ram personally, with his own hand, he does the last rites, cremation, he did with his own hand. Meanwhile, Sita was lying at Ravan, and Mother Sita immediately took out some ornaments. She, with her upper garments, she cut her upper garments, and she made some totally kind of thing, and she threw onto the mountain, because on that mountain she saw some monkeys, and those monkeys were Sugriv and Hanumanji. So some five monkeys they took. They saw that somebody is abducting some lady, and here are those ornaments. Now one should have this question that how Mother Sita got ornaments. They had left everything in palace, but these ornaments were given by Mother Anusuya. At one point of time, Mother Anusuya meets and she gives various gifts to Mother Sita, garland and jewel and so many things she gives. And there is a very good conversation between Mother Sita and Anusuya, the two most chaste ladies in our Vedic. From the Vedic scriptures, there are few very chaste ladies like Draupadi, Mandodari, Anusuya, Mother Sita, Lakshmi Devi. So this was a conversation. It's a very, very great conversation. One can read that. So Sugriva says that I will help you, Ram, because Lord Ramchandra reaches there with the help of Kabandha and all. So Sugriva says that my wife is taken away by Bali. So we can help each other. So Lord Ram helps and he kills Bali, and Sugriva is again united with his wife. And then Sugriva invites all the monkeys and he sends all those monkeys in all the four directions. You know how many monkeys were there in Sugriva? 10 raised to 63. I couldn't calculate, but this many monkeys they had, and all these monkeys, they are all powerful monkeys, not like sometimes they make some painting, some lal, red monkeys, very funny monkeys. No, they were all powerful, very strong, and as I said, that they had intense desire to kill Ravan. Yeah, they were born because of that. So Lord Ram, all the parties they go, and Lord Ram gives his ring to Hanumanji because he was so confident that Hanuman will do the work. That should be the disciple. Guru should have so much of confidence that when he gives service, it should be done. Prabhupada also, he had confidence from few of his disciples, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and five other devotees. Go to London and start preaching. Start a center. No. There was no. They did it. Prabhupada's promises only. We should print old Chaitanya Charitamrita 16-18 volumes in 2 months' time. It was impossible in those days. Even it is not possible even in today's day when we have so much of computer and this and that, everything, all information, all expertise, everything. But those people, they did it at that time. They were all small, small Hanumans in the hand of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was like a servant of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, representative of Lord Ram. So Hanumanji and all the pristine, the one who was going towards southern direction, they meet Sampati, who was brother of Jatayu. And Sampati was very much shocked that my brother is dead. So he offers the water to his dead brother. And then he says that I can see Sita sitting in Lanka in Ashoka groves. Vultures can see, right? You can see. He cannot see. So Hanumanji jumps from Indian part to Lanka. 100 yojan jump. That is the highest jump. You know, in Olympic they jump 15 feet, 20 feet. Like a fool they jump with a bamboo and it looks so funny. You know, all these records, they should be in the name of all these devotees or supreme personalities. Weightlifting, Hanumanji, from the whole mountain. What is this 100 kg, 200 kg? The whole mountain, now try. Nothing. So shooting the arrow. They shoot the arrow or they shoot with the gun. The bullet is there everywhere except the center. Just if it is just near, they say, yeah, world record, world record. Here Arjuna shot the arrow without seeing the object. The object was also moving. That object also he saw into the water. The arrow, that perfect aim. All these records should be in their name. Hanumanji is most popular figure in Ramayana, whole Ramayana, whether they are Hindu, Muslim, Sikh, Isai, nobody says that Hanumanji they don't know. Everybody knows Hanumanji. The same Hanumanji came as Murari Gupta. Same Hanumanji came as Murari Gupta in Lord Chaitanya's year. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Murari Gupta that why don't you chant Krishna's name? Why you chant Ram's name? Krishna means Madhurya Bhav, more intimate. Murari Gupta said, okay my lord, whatever you say. And whole night Murari Gupta was crying, but he just couldn't chant Hare Krishna. He said, Sri Ram, Jai Sri Ram, Hare Jai Sri Ram. He was just not able to do that. So next day he met Lord Chaitanya and said that, please forgive me, I want to do suicide. I cannot follow your instruction. Lord Chaitanya immediately said that it is quite possible for you not to do this because you are none other than Hanuman. Lord Chaitanya writes Ram Das on his forehead, just with his finger. And he said that, the most fortunate are those devotees to whom Lord never forsakes. And those devotees also never forsake their Supreme Personality of Godhead, their Lord. You know, bhakti is, that's why it is said, it is one-to-one connection. Every devotee has connection with Lord. That is the beauty of bhakti. Every devotee has connection with Lord. That is the beauty of bhakti. So Hanumanji jumps, he reaches there, he slaps Lankini, who was the deity of Lanka city. Hanumanji slaps her and Lankini says, I'm sorry, you are allowed to go. Whatever was the benediction, now I know. I have to accept this. You can please proceed into the city of Lanka. Hanumanji sees Mother Sita and he gives a message. He gives a ring. He takes a message. Very intimate message of Mother Sita, which is only between Mother Sita and Lord Rama. He takes that message and, you know, so that Ram will know that he actually met Sita, not as a mother lady. So Hanumanji wanted to eat something. He takes permission from Mother Sita and he starts eating from the fruits of the Ashoka grove, any tree. He takes one tree, one fruit from one tree and he says that now this tree has become jhutha. So this tree should not exist. So he uproots that tree. Next tree. One fruit uproots that tree. Next. So he creates a mess in that whole beauty. Very much attached. Ravana was very much attached to that garden. So many demons he killed. Hanumanji was, so many demons they came and they wanted to kill Hanumanji, and Ravana's son Aksha, he comes. He fights with Hanumanji in the sky. Hanumanji kills him also. And in the end, Indrajit was sent. Indrajit discharges Brahmastra. Hanumanji has a benediction. No astra or no shastra will work. on him. He had got that benediction diction when he was 5 years old, very small in his childhood only, not even 5 years old. He was not even knowing what is sun and what is fruit at that time. So maybe 1 year old. He got all those benedictions. But Hanuman ji respected that Paramatma and he said that anyway, Leela hone wala hai thodi der mein, tension lene ki zarurat nahi. Anyway, all this rope which has bound me with Paramatma, it won't work much for long. So he says that anyway, things will happen. Let me see and meet Ravan. And then Hanuman ji meets Ravan. And then he says that, you know, I am a small servant of Ram. Just think what Ram is. He was Sita. Ravan says that, kill this monkey. Then Vibhishan interferes and Ravan says that, okay, we will put the fire. Now, think of this scenario that Hanuman has done so much and now it's one of the very adverse situations. His tail is on fire. A devotee will use the most adverse situation also in devotional service. Hanuman ji thought, abhi main kya kar sakta, what can I do to serve my Lord Ram? Why not use this fire and burn the whole Lanka? He burns the whole Lanka, everything is finished. Now all the traits and character of the ideal servant, they are present in Hanuman ji. Intelligent, confident, trustworthiness, fearlessness, whatever you say, perfect example of a servant, our Aradhya Deva. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Dasya is assigned to Hanuman ji. Kaupat Deva said, we want to become friend of Krishna, lover of Krishna, father of Krishna, mother of Krishna. We want to become Dasosu. So for our Aradhya Deva, this is the ideal. Hanuman ji is the ideal. So Hanuman ji comes back and he gives the news. Lord Ramchandra comes, Vibhishan surrenders. And Vibhishan surrenders at that time. Lord Ram says, if anybody surrenders to me and says that I am yours, because Sugriva was not agreeing to accept Lord Vibhishan, Lord Ramchandra scolds him. Sakrad eva prapanno yas tavasmi chaiti yace abhayam sarvada tasmi dadami yatat vritamno. He says that sakrad eva, even somebody says without sincerity that my dear Ram, I am yours, I take full protection and I give him full protection from all kinds of fear. Sakrad eva prapanno yas tavasmi chaiti yace abhayam sarvada tasmi, I give them full fearlessness. So Lord Ram accepts Vibhishan, then they make a bridge. Lord Ram's name has so much of power that even stone floats. In modern day and time we have so many gods. Ask them, write your name on that stone and make that stone float. What to speak of a stone? You make this pebble float, nothing will happen. They are all... We cannot cross the ocean by holding the tail of a dog. This material ocean cannot be crossed with these kind of pseudo gods, pseudo gurus. So Lord Ram reaches there and then there is a whole big war. Now it is impossible to describe the whole war in 4 hours time. We need at least whole day. So we won't go into the detail. But ultimately Ravana was killed. Mother Sita and Ram, they were united. So Ravana is actually not killed. No, Ravana is not killed. It's there in our heart. The moment we feel lusty, the Ravana is there. That Ravana, the person Ravana was killed, but that lust Ravana which is there in our heart is not killed. It can be killed only and only by devotional service, by sincere chanting of the holy names, by serving the devotees, not on our own. Keeping our own all egos, all our issues aside, we should know that we have to remove this Ravana which is there in our heart, which is our most sinful enemy, right? Lord Krishna spoke, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudva mahasano mahapapma vidhinam mahamai. Mahasano mahapapma, the greatest enemy is lust. So when we hear Ram katha, when we hear Hari katha, Krishna katha, this lust, it goes from our heart. So on the day of Ram Navami, one should pray that, oh my dear Lord Ram, please kill the Ravana which is there in my heart, so that I can offer myself completely a pure person in your lotus feet. that's the mood of a sincere person. One should beg that, oh Lord Ram, please help me. Oh Lord Krishna, please help me to get rid of this Ravan mentality which is there in my heart. And today, of course, today is not the Ram Navami day, but Ramchandra ji is appearing in some planet, somewhere. So actually Lord Ramchandra is appearing. So that way it is Ram Navami. Whenever we all devotees together glorify Lord Ram, Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, they are all happy. Prabhupada, and today's day, when these kids, they are, all the children, they are going through this drama, you know, I saw them just downstairs. So much of enthusiasm, so much of eagerness is there. So my sincere request is, let us not take this drama as an entertainment. It may give a good feeling to our heart. Let us accept the whole pastime. Let us get absorbed in that pastime. We may be going, here is that devotee, his son, his daughter. Fine, that's okay, but that should not be the consciousness. They have put the effort in the last 2 months. It's not so easy to train kids for drama. Having their own engagement of schools, parents have their own engagement of work. In a country like Singapore where both parents are working, not so easy. Even our directors, music, everybody, they are all working. So let us not see the art there. Let us see the devotion. Let us get ourselves absorbed in that. And let us appreciate each and every moment of the drama. So I thank all of you very much for patiently hearing. And I beg forgiveness if I did any mistake. Kindly forgive me. And do this. They can come and correct and let me know wherever I need to improve. I'll definitely try to. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Ram. Jai Shri Ram.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I think we can do better. We are not fasting today. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna Mataji. Jai Shri Ram Chandra Bhagavan ki. Hear the lecture on the discourse that Ram Sangeeta Guru gave us. And it is not an easy feat to speak on Ramayana for just 1 hour 15 minutes. It's very difficult. But Prabhuji has done it so wonderfully that he has now got us ready to watch and absorb ourselves further in the pastimes of Lord Ram presented to us by the children from Gopal's garden. Now, I'm going to give you a few background information which is going to be useful. First, you will see that these areas are today demarcated. They are actually taped. You find that there is a walking path that has been put forward. We request devotees to please not go beyond the taped lines. This is very important for the drama. If you don't want to be, jumped on by children, I would sincerely suggest you follow this direction. So stick to your lines. Second, there is a line running here. My suggestion to you is also to stick to that line because there will be a lot of activity in a few minutes crossing that line. Jai Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki. Next,
As we watch, we will dim the light. But what we want is not to dim our consciousness. Right? Our consciousness should be very alert to watch this. And as Ram Sangeeta correctly pointed out to us,